Good afternoon. As everyone knows, today is the Day of Atonement. And what is the first thing that you think of when you think of Day of Atonement? Well, if you're under the age of 18, the first thing you think of is no food, no water for 24 hours. By this time, most of the young people here probably can think of nothing else except how hungry they are. Last night, around 8:30, Ethan announced that he was already starving to death. And he was so thirsty that he might not make it through the night. But he is here, so I think he made it. So why is it that we do deprive ourselves of all this food and water on this day? Why do we put ourselves through all this discomfort? Well, we can start out by reading Leviticus 23. These are familiar verses. Leviticus 23, verse 26 to 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement." That's today. "It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls." So that's what we're doing. "And you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicting their soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people." So it's a serious thing. "And any people who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, that you shall celebrate your Sabbath." So we can see here that it's mentioned three different times that we have to afflict our souls, or we are supposed to fast on this day. Okay, we know that, but why? Why do we fast? Not just on the Day of Atonement, but on any other day, why do we fast? Well, that could be answered in many different ways. One obvious answer is we fast to grow closer to God. It teaches us humility. It doesn't take long without food and water to realize how dependent you are on God for all of your physical food and water. It humbles you. Another obvious lesson would be a spiritual lesson, that we are completely dependent on God as well spiritually for our spiritual food and water. And that humbles us. But not everyone who fasts does it for the right reasons. You can fast and do it for wrong reasons. Let's turn to Luke 18, verse 9. There's an example here, a parable, about someone who was fasting, but for the wrong reasons. In Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. "Also he spoke a parable to some who trusted themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." So he was talking to people here who trusted in themselves and despised other people. Verse 10. "Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes, all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" So not everyone fasts for the correct reasons or have the right attitude when they fast. We can see that here. Plainly, this Pharisee didn't have the right example or right attitude when he fasted. He fasted twice a week. So it's not always the amount that we fast, but it's the attitude we have. He did it for the wrong reasons. He did it to exalt himself rather than humble himself. So there are times that we can fast for the right reasons, and there are times we can fast for the wrong reasons. For the remainder of the time I have today, I want to look at another example in Isaiah 58. So if you want to turn to Isaiah 58, we're going to stay in Isaiah 58 for the rest of the message. I want to turn here to Isaiah 58 and see another example of some people who fasted, but they fasted for the wrong reasons. But there are also, further down in Isaiah 58, we can see what fasting should do for us if it's done for the right reasons. So it shows both ways here. And we're just going to take a look at that for a few minutes here today and see the lessons that we can learn from it. So here in Isaiah 58, verse 1, I'll start out by reading 1 through 4. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation they did righteousness, and they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. And they asked me for the ordinance is of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you have not taken notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure. In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. So they weren't fasting for the right reasons here. They were fasting, and they probably thought they were fasting for the right reasons, but God saw it a different way. They were not fasting to humble themselves or to bring themselves closer to God. It says they had a fast of strife and debate. And they were willing to strike their fist of wickedness. That's what I was looking for right there. So it wasn't a fast that was the correct way. Well, they didn't have the correct attitude. They were doing it for selfish reasons. And of course, God was not happy with their attitudes. So he, through Isaiah, asked some rhetorical questions right after that, starting at verse 5. Is this the fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? And then in verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen? Again, it's another rhetorical question, I guess you'd call it, that God is asking. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Verse 7, is this not to share the bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, you cover them. When you hide yourself from your own flesh. So these verses are show us that if we fast and it's done for the correct reasons, that there are some things that fasting, there are fruits from the fasting if they're done for correct reasons. And that's what we see here in verse 6. And that's kind of, I'm going to break down verse 6 here into a couple, I think, four different little points to see some of the fruits of what fasting, the fruits of fasting that's done correctly. It's the right attitude. So let's go back to verse 6 and read that one more time. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke. So like I said, there's several lessons here in this verse that I'm going to try to bring out. The first one here is to loose the bonds of wickedness. If the fast is done with the right attitude and done correctly, it's supposed to loose the bonds of wickedness, said in verse 6. Now, we know Israel as a nation began with God loosening their bonds of wickedness. They were obviously kept in Egypt as slaves for all those many years, and God loosed their bonds of wickedness. So they should have known full well about this. And I think we can see the similarity here in the Day of Atonement. This Day of Atonement highlights the breaking of the bonds of wickedness as well. I mean, you can see the parallel, and that's what I'm trying to bring out. In the Old Testament Day of Atonement, the sins, as we know, were symbolically put on the head of a goat, and it was sent out into the wilderness. And those bonds of wickedness were broken. And this is a day that means the same thing for us. We are celebrating the breaking of the bonds of wickedness today as well. The bonds that Satan holds over us. We were brought out of sin, or out of spiritual Egypt, by, of course, the sacrifice of God's firstborn. The bonds of wickedness that held us were broken. So there'd be a reconciling between God and mankind. As we know, that's what this day pictures. The second thing here in verse 6, if you want to go back to verse 6, it says, this fast you undo the heavy burdens. We already read Leviticus 23:28, where Israel was told that they're not supposed to work on this day. I think in that section of verse, they were told four different times they're not supposed to do any kind of work. So they are not supposed to have any heavy burdens on this day, on the Day of Atonement. In fact, God tells them that he will destroy them, if you remember, if they work on this day. They were not to be burdened by any physical work. This day pictures the removal of sin's heavy burden. Sin can be a heavy burden, and the Day of Atonement pictures a time, as we know, when that sin will be removed. And the one day, in that one, and it will also remove on this day, the one who originates all of that sin, once and for all, so that we can be reconciled with God. The third thing mentioned there in verse 6 is let the oppressed go free. That's the third thing that's mentioned there. Let the oppressed go free. And again, Israel should have known this. After being cruelly oppressed for several generations, God heard their cries, and God told Pharaoh to let my people go. Again, there's parallels between the Israelites here at this time and us on the Day of Atonement. God, in a future time, when this day is fulfilled, will tell Satan to let his people go finally, and the oppression will be over. Let the oppressed go free. And the last thing in verse 6, as mentioned, is to break every yoke. Now, we know a yoke is a device that's put on oxen so a farmer can tell them which way to go, either to the right or to the left, and he can have control over them. And sin acts as a yoke on us. Many times it has a control on us, and Satan is able to pull us to the right or to the left and use it as a yoke. So the last thing that's mentioned here is break every yoke. Again, we can see that parallel here in the Day of Atonement. That yoke will be broken, finally. In Matthew 11, verse 30, Christ says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But the yoke of sin, we know, and the yoke of Satan is very heavy. And with that yoke, we are not free to walk as easily as we want to, because Satan is using that yoke to control us. So we can see those lessons there in verse 6 about what the fruits of a fast, a sincere fast, I'll call it, should be. But then down in verse 7, right after that, it goes into some other topics here in 58 verse 7. "Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and when you hide yourself from your own flesh?" So the fast that God has chosen, he has called it the fast that he has chosen, does not only loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke, but it also should help us, or cause in us, to want to show love. I mean, that's what that's talking about there in verse 7, is just basic love towards neighbor. Dealing bread to the hungry, bringing the poor into our house, and helping clothe those who are naked. All these things listed in verse 7 show love towards neighbor. So we can see in these few short verses that fasting, whether it's on the Day of Atonement or any other day, should not be done for our own selfish motives. And it can be done for our own selfish motives. We saw there in Isaiah 58 that the Israelites at that time were fasting so that they could call on God and somehow cause him to do what they wanted him to do. I think that was plain if you read through those verses. That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to get God to do for them what they wanted him to do. It was for selfish motivation. And of course, the Pharisee in the parable that we read earlier also had selfish motivation. So we need to fast. We need to have a fast that's a sincere fast. And it will produce fruits. So more of those fruits are listed further down in Isaiah 58 here in verses 8 through 14. I'm going to read now through verses 8 through 14 and see more of these fruits from a sincere fast if it's done correctly. Verse 8, "Then your light will shine," after he already listed what was verses 6 and 7. We just went through now verse 8. "Then your light will shine." Well, "your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And you should call, and the Lord will answer. And you should cry, and he will say, 'Here I am.' If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of wickedness." So the Israelites must have been pointing fingers and speaking wickedness while they were fasting on this day, apparently. "If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy an afflicted soul, and you shall then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. I, the Lord, will guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones, and you shall be a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail." That verse sounds pretty good right now, to be like a watered garden and have that spring of water. I mean, right now my throat's pretty dry. I don't know about you. It's probably because I'm up here and speaking and I'm nervous. My throat gets dry. But it sounds pretty good to have a spring of water right now. But that's what he promises if this fast is done sincerely. Now down in verse 12. "Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." I think the meaning of these promises are pretty clear. If you are sincere in your fasting, And you don't do it for the wrong reasons, but the right reasons. God will hear you when you pray. He will answer your troubles, and He will bless you and guide you and strengthen you. These are the fruits of a sincere fast. So in conclusion, these scriptures show us of those who fasted for the right reasons and some who fasted for the wrong reasons. It's not how often you fast, as we already learned from the Pharisee in the parable who fasted twice a week, but it's the attitude that you have. Are you doing it for your own selfish reasons, or are you doing it to draw closer to God and also to use it to help, to use as you're drawing closer to God, to use that to show love towards neighbor, as we said before in, I think it was verse 7 up there in Isaiah 58. The most important thing is the attitude you have while you fast and the motivation you have for fasting. A sincere fast has its fruit. God called it here in Isaiah 58, a fast that I have chosen in verse 6. Then he began to talk about loosening the bonds of wickedness, undoing the heavy burdens, and letting the oppressed go free and breaking every yoke. And we already showed how that can parallel to the meanings of today and this holy day. And then he goes down in verse 14. I will cause you to ride, if it's done properly and the fast is done sincerely, verse 14 says, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob my father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So again, I think we can see a parallel there to not only this day, but to the feast days coming up here next week. The Feast of Tabernacles, that he will feed us with the heritage of Jacob your father. It makes me really look forward to the next upcoming week and all of that pictures. So let's be sure that we fast with a sincere fast today and keep in mind all that it pictures for all of us now and in the future.